Welcome everybody to episode 190. That's getting close to 200, buddy.
Yeah, I never thought we'd be here, but yet here we are here.
Here we are. It's the Whiskey and Watches podcast for those keeping track at home. holy crap. Like, we've been doing this for 4 years now. It started in 2020.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I don't know when the actual anniversary mark is. Obviously, I could just go back and look at the first episode, but I feel like
it's the end of January.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was definitely like late January. I don't know the exact date. I think we passed
before COVID started.
Yeah, I think we've passed it. So we're officially 4 years old.
We are 4 years old. That's wild. That is absolutely wild.
It's still going strong.
Yeah, format's changed a bit.
That's okay. Every good thing changes, you know?
Mm-hmm. We've evolved.
Yeah. Some may say it changes with the seasons.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. I see what you're doing. That is what we call foreshadowing.
Yes. Which we're known to do on this podcast from time
to
time.
We are known to do. We are known to hint at things, both coming later this episode and coming on later episodes. Anyway, my friend, since we're buzzless, there's no buzz to this episode. Still plenty of hype, but no buzz.
Brooch.
Yeah, you know, I got jokes. What's in the glass? What is on the wrist?
In the glass is going to be, you know, I've been known to bring two on these podcasts. Currently is a Jack Daniel's single barrel proof, which I am a very big fan of. Love Jack Daniel's. Not 107. Well, 107 for certain occasions, but for the most part, I am not a fan of 107.
What are those certain occasions? I'm curious.
When you're splashing it with some Coke and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The stuff you're probably not going to remember the next day. And then backup is going to be, of course, Mr. Colonel himself, E.H. Taylor, because, you know, I bust that out from time to time. On the wrist was, I had my Speedmaster on, but it is since off of my wrist because I am back from the old work. I have cleansed myself of the nonsense, so.
All right.
Really should really disinfect those, but
I'll get to that. Yeah, you probably might not be the worst idea. Or just get a G-Shock. Get a singular G-Shock.
Gosh,
to stick up all the rear ends of all the animals that you have to daily.
Hey, pinky. Just the pinky.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I think we should already just cut it there.
Yeah, no, we're good.
How about you?
On that note, in the glass, I have mixed a rather nice Manhattan, one with Michter's Rye, Method Vermouth, Orange Angostura Bitters, and 2 Amarena Fabri cherries from the massive jar of cherries that I still have.
Nice.
We're going to have to, like, it's going to be that, like, episode 265 when that bottle, when that jar of cherries finally runs out. It'll be a sad day.
We can each hold separate funerals for our own respective bottles.
Yeah. And then on the wrist, I've got on the SPB 149, the watch that is way better than it should be. I've got it on a boingy boy from Cincy Strapco, one of his MN style elastic straps. So
nice.
Been rocking that all day. So yeah.
Like it. I dig it.
Yeah. So we should just jump right into it. I think we got a couple of things on the docket. I think the first thing is, I know you're also a fan of the Constellation.
Yes.
Buzzy and I got to talk about Space Connies last time. Have you? Mm-hmm. And I know that you haven't had a chance to look at these until about 8 minutes ago. given that we're 4 minutes into a podcast, 8 minutes ago should tell you it was right as we were about ready to record. I made Spangler aware of these. What do you think?
I dig them. Like Spence said, obviously, I have just now seen these. But yeah, I think, you know, Meteorite is sort of, I feel like if you do Meteorite, I'll say this, right? Meteorite is a dial that if you do it right, it is stellar. Maybe. Yeah. I'm on fire tonight. And if you do it wrong, it's kind of meh, but at least in my mind. But yeah, I think Omega did a great job with these. I like the fact that they also mixed up the dials and the bezels. It's just not like a set like lineup. They do kind of mix and match these options that they've brought out. I am a fan of, as I scroll through here so I can get up better pictures.
You see the Sedna?
Oh, I literally scrolled to the bottom and was about to bring it up. That is wild. And this is like my gut reaction to this. Yeah. I'm just now seeing it. Yeah, the Sedna is killer. I love the fact that it's almost just full monochrome Sedna, aside from the Constellation and the Master Chronometer. That's slick. Yeah. It's slick. The Moonshine Gold's also not bad too. I like that one as well.
That one's pretty sick too. I like the reason, in fairness, I don't have the extra 45K or whatever it is to throw around and get one of those because they're killer.
Yes. Yeah.
But the steel with the blue meteorite, the way they, mm-hmm. I like the all metal bezel. I've always liked that on the Constellation. I don't like the ceramic. I love the way they did kind of like that relief style bezel on that. Like they're roughed up, kind of like the Necton version of the Seamaster Professional. You know what I mean? Like that metally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that bezel. So I think they absolutely crushed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think that one might actually be the best dial bezel combo. I guess I'm more of a fan of green since that is one of my favorite colors. I guess it's more of a favorite color than blue watches for me personally, but I think the combo of the blue with the roughed up bezel or the bezel, I think it works because the roughness of the bezel kind of goes with like the roughness of the meteorite. I think it plays well together.
It does.
Yeah. But I also like the green, like I said.
Mm-hmm. No, they did like, they all look really good. So
yeah,
figured I had to bring you out from whatever rock you've been living under and not having seen those for a minute.
Anyway. I live under, yeah, it's a very strange rock. Let me tell you.
Not one that fell from space though.
No. No, or maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe for this, yeah. Maybe for this it is.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were talking pre-show about the fact that we're probably, what, now a month or so away from Watches and Wonders and some new releases.
Mm-hmm.
Other folks have started making predictions. Every year I hope for a specific watch. This might actually be the year that I may have to put money where my mouth is on it. So why don't we go ahead and talk about what we think Rolex may be releasing, what leaks we may or may not have seen, rumors we're hearing, and then go from there. But we were initially talking, this might be the year we finally get some Coca-Cola back.
Yeah, we've always kind of said that Rolex plays the long game, right? They're not going anywhere. They know that everybody wants a Coke. We know they can do a Coke. It's just sort of a matter of when are they going to do the Coke. I think last year when they came out with the Sprite, or was that 2 years ago now?
You know, I don't remember. It might have been 2 years because last year was the gray and the black. Was that?
I think it might have been two.
2 years ago?
I think it might have been two.
Well, so here's the thing.
It all just kind of blurs together, everybody.
It does. I am searching Hodinkee.
Regardless, while you search, I can kind of carry on with this little thought in my head here. But yeah, like I was saying, right, Rolex does play the long game with this kind of stuff. And I think the Sprite was sort of a kind of like a holding pattern for them, right? They're giving us something that we didn't expect, something kind of off the wall for them as a brand. And, you know, it's sort of like, hey, here's this new thing. It's probably not the thing you wanted or expected us to give out, but it's still very interesting, very cool. And you can have this for a little bit while, I guess, we sort of tease the idea of bringing back something that probably more people would go for, you know. Well,
and somebody did surface the patent for the black and red bezels that they filed within the last 12 months. So I feel like that's another kind of hint. For reference, the Sprite was 2 years ago, which just seems insane.
Yeah.
so we've seen, you know, we've kind of seen that leak. The one though that caught my eye, you know, no, I mean, the Coke has kind of been top of my list since early days of this podcast. Like that's one of those mm-hmm. that's been, I mean, going back to episode like 7, 8, whatever, like that was kind of the watch that I've been hoping for, especially now that it could come on a Jubilee. I think that would be fantastic. Like that would be ideal. However, you know, the leaks that tend to be, I think, more or less accurate are the ones that look like they're coming directly out of the Rolex catalog.
Yes, I would agree.
And in amongst those, we did see, or at least what was put into our broader Red Bar group chat, included a righty sprite, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, and this is the one that's got me kind of questioning what I would do here. A black dial, red bezel, Submariner.
You know, I don't know. I think if Rolex is going to do red on a sub, I think they would, and I haven't seen these photos, but if they were going to do red on a sub, I think they would have to really stick with just the red Submariner text on it. I don't like the idea of them pulling this red bezel thing and like now this like it's going to turn the Rambo of Rolex sub bezels. I don't really like that idea. I kind of like the classic, I guess classic now, the green bezel and just the black, right? I like that. Just one and two, that's it. That's what you're getting. I think if they're going to mess with the bezels, I think historically they've been known to mess with the bezels more on the GMT. So I'd be more of a fan of them bringing back the Coke than introducing a new color into the sub line. Because you know, I've really like wanted for a while now for Rolex to do the and it's not a sub anniversary this year, is it? Or was that last year? No, 53. That would have been last year.
I think it would have been last year.
Yeah,
they're not always like they're not always the best on their anniversaries either.
No, they're not. They're not. You're not wrong. But yeah, I'd love to see a nice just. Kind of what they did for the Sea-Dweller 43, just a matte dial, red text sub. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. The reason I would question, like, of the two, which would be the one I would prefer. Meaning, mm-hmm. if presented with the idea of you can buy either of these, which one would you go with? Between a Coke, like for me, somebody who's wanted that black and red color combination.
Yeah.
But at the same point, like if you're going to tell me I had to have one watch complication for ever, I would pick a dive bezel over pretty much anything because in some ways to me, they're the most useful.
For sure.
So the idea of a black and red sub or a black and red GMT Master, I still feel like because they haven't made the GMT Master bigger, like the sub, maxi case sub, especially now in 41, it's just like everything's just a little bit bigger. And as much as I know the 41 wears incredibly similar to the old 40 that I had, that bracelet is just bigger and thicker and longer. And I feel like, one, I would love the Jubilee, and two, 20 millimeters tapering down to 16, I think I just like better than 21 to 17. Smaller case, slightly thin. Like I can see still wanting the proportions of the GMT Master 2, even if it is the lesser of the two useful complications for my lifestyle.
Yeah, right on paper that the bracelet on the sub is obviously bigger, but I mean for my experience of it and ownership, right? Like, I feel like it wasn't that big of a bother for me. Now, what have I preferred the 20 mil lug with? Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer, right? Because, like, you get in these weird straps. I mean, it's not like, obviously, it's not like a mainstream size, right? So you're kind of having to go search for quality straps for the sub. But yeah, I don't know. I agree with you, right? I would take a dive bezel over a GMT every day, right? Because I'm not flying once a week. So really, for my purposes, it's kind of a kind of just a fun thing to look at. But yeah, I mean, personally, I'd love to see the Coke come back. I'd love to see it on a Jubilee. I'd love to see even more the option to pick which bracelet you'd like on it. Although, will that happen? We'll be stuck with kind of just what they get in is what you get type of situation? Probably. But, yeah, for you, I think, right, you've been talking about this watch for, gosh, years now. So I feel like if this Coke comes in, like, you gotta put your money where your mouth is, sell some stuff. You gotta go for it. Like, this is gonna be, like, the Michael Spencer watch here.
Oh, no, I'm prepping for it. I still need Blake to text me back, though. So, Blake, if you're listening, I'm going to come harass you later this week.
Yeah, Blake, Matt, anybody at R&P whose names I don't know because I haven't been there in forever, if you're listening.
Matt said I should harass Blake even more, so I texted Matt, too. Don't worry. I'm getting all my bases covered here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're covering your bases here.
Oh, yeah.
As a thorough watch collector would.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I'd love to see it. But gosh, knowing them, it's gonna be something ridiculous, like a two-tone Coke.
Yeah,
two-tone Coke on a Jubilee. Imagine that.
I don't know that I'd hate that. I mean, it'd be a little jarring. It wouldn't be what I would prefer.
Yeah. No. Blake texts you, he's like, we got the Coke in. Well, yeah, it's a two-tone. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little jarring. I don't really know. But we'll see. We'll see what Rolex does.
Well, it's funny, though. You mentioned the idea of the red bezel sub. That's that would look an awful lot like a Tudor Black bag.
Yeah, you're right. It would. Yeah. Now, we know Rolex does not like to compete with itself.
Yeah, but they let Tudor do other weird things at the same time. So I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what does Tudor do? And in some ways, I really just hope you get, like, more. You know, you're going to eventually have to get another colorway of the Pelagos 39. That would just be a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You're right. That's coming eventually. As to win. I don't know. But, But speaking of, like, the last one, we didn't really touch on the right, I guess, the normal configuration Sprite here. If they do come out with the normal configuration Sprite, do you think they're going to discontinue the LHD version? Do you think you have two different options?
Well, so they've let you... Now, I guess you have the illusion of choice on bracelets for the GMT Master. So I guess, could you have the illusion of righty or lefty? Probably. Yeah. I don't know if... I don't know. I could see them discontinuing it. I could see them also being like, you know, because they did. They got rid of... they still have two size Explorers now.
Yeah.
So...
That's true.
Maybe righty and lefty GMT. I don't know. It seems like something they would discontinue, but...
Yeah. We also said that about the Milgauss for forever, and yet here we are still with it.
No, they discontinued that last year.
Oh, the Milgauss? I thought they kept one colorway of it.
Only you're probably there was right. A way.
You're probably
only right. There was a way. Let me.
Yeah. No. I mean.
2023, they discontinued the Milgauss. Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah, there we go. But still, right, we talked about that for years, and it took them a hot second to finally discontinue that watch. So, I don't know. It makes sense that they probably discontinued the left-handed one. But to be fair, I guess all they have to do is flip those cases around. They couldn't reuse the crystals. They couldn't reuse the dials.
But yeah, the dials they can't.
I guess, wait. I guess, oh, you can reuse the crystal. Only the dial.
Now, can you use the case?
I feel like, yeah, you could use the case.
I guess you probably could.
Yeah, I feel like you could.
Yeah.
It's like a fun little brain teaser puzzle. Yeah, I feel like the only thing they couldn't reuse is the dial.
Well, I think they did some stuff. I think it is a slightly different movement. I think the way they, I could be wrong, but I think the way they did some stuff with the, or maybe it's just the date wheel. I don't know. Somebody can tell us. Somebody will at us. We have friends who will tell us that we're wrong.
Yes, please. I get told I'm wrong every day. I'm so used to it by now. Please.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. Although, you know who I do think, and you mentioned this, you know, getting into some seasons, I think Grand Seiko has an anniversary this year.
I believe you are correct.
I think they do. And what was this? I don't, it's really hard to tell with them what anniversary it is, because last year was 25 years of Spring Drive, and I thought for sure, is this the 140th anniversary of the entire company, or I don't know.
I feel like it's every other year they come out with an anniversary of something.
Or something.
Maybe it's the 400th anniversary of Spring. I don't know. But either way, there is an anniversary coming with Grand Seiko, which will inevitably bring some type of anniversary release. And since it is almost the changing into spring, I feel like, you know, seasons might play a part of that, or maybe not, you never know. On my drive home, I figured that's kind of where my brain went to, and thinking that that might be something they do. And I could probably be completely wrong, which I probably am. But changing into spring, into a new season, perhaps a new seasons collection from Grand Seiko, it's a possibility. I don't know. I would like to see it. From the original seasons collection, the spring was amazing. I was also a fan of the winter. Yep. But, man, if I were to just reason to guess, and when I say reason to guess, it's mostly just me saying what I would like to see them come out with. You know, I was the owner of a Grand Seiko, one of their Elegance collection dress watches for a hot second back in the day, which I probably would like to get that back, maybe one day. But man, if they could do something like a soft, subtle pink Elegance collection in that new case style from the SBGK, with a mount of Watte dial, which they have not done with the pink. I'd love to see that. I'm also a fan of the Power Reserve being on the dial versus on the back, so that might be a divisive opinion. But I'm a fan of the Power Reserve on the front. As long as it's done correctly. If it looks dumb, it probably is dumb. But yeah, I think Grand Seiko does a pretty good job of Power Reserves on their dials. And I especially love it to be a Spring Drive watch. So yeah, so I'm not worth anything.
I have thoughts on this, because there's a couple of different ways I would love to see them go. I would love to see them do something with their new kind of evolution cases. And lean into kind of because for the longest time, and I kind of lamented this, it's like, man, I really love the divers. I really love kind of the tool watch GMTs, but those have always had kind of more flat or like glossy dials, but nothing of what we've known Grand Seiko before with their incredible dial work.
Yeah.
The last year and a half to 2 years, they've started changing that with some of the evolution kit. Like, you now have GMTs that have phenomenal dials along with that sapphire bezel. You have divers that have an awesome texture. So why don't we do something cool? Why don't we do a spring that is kind of in a, like your standard kind of case, like you're at, like kind of something akin to, do you remember the, like, one of the quartz cases that he kind of like that anti-magnetic case? It's a little bit more angular and a little bit more sporty, but like a time only watch. Do that one for spring. Like, that one's kind of the changing of the seasons. Summer's a nice big old dive watch with a really cool, like, water texture. Do some sort of different blue, like a brighter blue for summer, like whatever you want to do for your seasons. Lean it on the diving aesthetic, the swimming aesthetic. something like that. I don't know. Maybe make us that skin diver or smaller diver sub killer that we want for all of us to take, you know, swimming on vacation or whatever. And make it themed after the southern region in Japan that is kind of where everyone vacations. Make go do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't really know where you go with fall, but I feel like winter to me is the GMT with the big sapphire bezel, because they do like they do the darker color on top and it's slightly lower, like it's not quite 50-50, which to me means like more night. So maybe go even just a little bit more on the color to signify winter, and then do the winter do some crazy like dark winter. I could see them doing something like that. I don't think they're going to do something like that because they're going to make it essentially just the dial variation and everything else is going to largely be the same. I would love to see that in a 44 GS case. Do a seasons in a 44 GS. Do four different dials or any of the whichever. Like I don't care if you want to add a complication, great. If not, don't. Just put that thing in a 44 GS case. And like I would, their new red one that they came out with is amazing. Just that case, like I need to own one of those cases.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and you brought up the 44 GS, and, you know, when you were talking about fall, gosh, it would be so cool if they did either a 44 GS or something that's in a classic Grand Seiko case style, right? So 44 GS, 62 GS, in like a maybe like a burnt orangey fall type dial, because Grand Seiko does not really do orange dial watches. Honestly, I think they've only done one or two, maybe, off the top of my head. I think one's a GMT. But, yeah, and I don't really like the orange that they currently have. Or I guess they've done a boutique limited edition in orange. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But yeah, I didn't really like the way they did that. I think if they subdued that orange a little bit, sort of made it more like a orangey leaf color, maybe even the texture of a leaf. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Put it on like a light brown suede strap.
Yeah,
I think that'd be the move for fall.
So you want to talk about the Mantawate pattern?
Yeah.
That new red one is the red Mantawate pattern in the 44 GS case with the high beat movement. Just ever brilliant steel, like. It's just absolutely, absolutely killer. So, yeah,
that one is.
Throw a bunch of, do that. Do essentially that watch in different colors for different seasons with the Mantawate dial or like just, I don't know.
I love that. Of the Grand Seiko dials, you know, they're all great. I have a preference to that, the Mantawate one.
I think the thing that's nice about that one and about some of the other ones, and candidly, the reason I love the Blizzard so much, is because it's subtle. Like it's,
yes,
I feel like their best dials are the ones where you're like, oh, that looks like a red watch or a white watch or this color watch. And you look up close, you're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like you have to either be wearing the watch or holding the watch to get it. You're not any more than 5 or 6 feet away. You're not going to see that it's something special. And that's what is so amazing about it.
Yeah. Especially it's so amazing because that pattern and that, like how they do the relief into that dial. It's so small. It's so precise. And like, you know, it takes Lord knows how long it took them to design something to be able to craft that into these dials, which makes it all the more impressive. Right. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of that. Yeah, but you're right. More of those dials, more classic cases. I'm for it. And hopefully a sub-killer dive watch.
If they could just... if they could make the bracelet clasp less than a half an inch thick. Like, if they could just do that.
Yeah.
The bracelet clasp doesn't need to be any thicker than the watch.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it may make too much sense, actually. Maybe that's why they're not doing
it. That's the problem. They need to be a slightly less practical.
Yeah.
On some of it.
Yes.
I just... I'll take it in 42. Just give me a 42 millimeter, 12 millimeter thick,
mm-hmm.
Grand Seiko spring drive diver with 300 meters of water resistance and a clasp that like is just solid. I won't even say good. Solid. Just give me a solid clasp. I don't know. I just,
the bar is pretty low for Grand Seiko.
Well, because everything else they do is so, like, it's so good. Yeah. You're just like, I'll sacrifice elsewhere to, like, make this happen.
Yes. It's also like, how do you let that slip? You guys are so good at everything else. Like, how in the world? I mean, we've beat this horse for years now, but, you know, still, it infuriates me thinking about it. So you're so good everywhere else. How do you slip up on something that you touch every day, right? You're going to interact with the clasp every single time you wear a watch. People are going to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see, honestly, if they did a diver in the... I know they do the Revolution 9 or the Evolution 9 dive watch.
Yeah.
But I like to see a diver in that's the GMT-style case.
Yeah. You mean like the smaller GMT-style case or the bigger GMT-style case?
The smaller one. Oh, I mean, they've got the Evolution 9 GMT, that whole Evolution... lineup.
I'd like to see.
I like to see whatever that, because they have a diver in that. I'd like to see a diver put into the GMT style with like a dive bezel.
Yeah. The other one I wouldn't mind is, do you remember the older they came out with the ones that had like the steel bezels and then the colored dials and they were spring drive GMTs?
Came out
these like two or so, almost 3 years ago.
That one might be escaping me.
Blue, green, and black. They had like a kind of like an Explorer 2. And some of them, they actually came out with ones that had ceramic bezels too, as well. But they're like that 40 millimeter sport GMT type of watch.
Were they spring drive?
Some were spring drive, some were automatic, and I think some were quartz. They did like three different versions of a very similar watch. They all had subtle differences. But that watch, all it needed was that bezel to rotate and it would have been almost perfect because it was 40 millimeters and it was only like probably 13 and a half thick. So like it had 200 meters of water resistance. Mm-hmm. You're like, can't you find a way to make a dive bezel work on that?
Yeah.
Or even a rotating GMT bezel. Like,
yeah. I think at this point.
That's what gets so frustrating is they have like, you're like, oh, you've got the parts. Just put the right ones together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the same argument you made about, like, you know, I'll just throw Patek out there, right? Like, Patek obviously has the ability to create amazing sport watches, but they just, right, they're sticking to the Nautilus and the Aquanaut, really. So, I mean, it'd be cool if they did a new sport watch, right? They have the ability to do it, they just don't do it. I think watch brands, I feel like they're one of the more curmudgeon things in the world. They'll just stick with what they like and know how to do, and that's about it. It takes a lot for watch brand to budge on shifting its focus, I think. Unless it's a micro brand, then they're all over the board,
yeah.
Which I love.
Well, and that's what's crazy is that, like, the smaller brands pivot and do things quickly,
mm-hmm.
and the bigger brands don't. And I guess you're trying to stay true to the brand and the image that you've kind of cultivated over the years, but like, you know,
you gotta change. You gotta change the times, you know?
Yeah.
I wish they had,
The only reason I say that is we think about the brand that has the greatest brand recognition, and that's Rolex, and they don't change. Like, they do, but they're incredibly slow. So, yeah. Like, I don't know.
They're playing the long con. They're doing the long game, right?
Yeah,
They're not going anywhere. I really wish these brands would have. Obviously, they spend millions of dollars on research and development for these watches. I wish they would have, I guess, focus groups that one specifies in mass marketability of these watches, and another one focuses on watch enthusiast mindset when it comes to these watches. And I wish that those two groups could just like merge and just produce watches that way.
Tudor Pelagos 39.
For, well, yes, sure. That's a good example of, right, mass marketability, enthusiast perspective. Yes, that is a perfect example of what happens when you do that. And when brands do that, it's amazing, right? It's great for the brand, great for the mass market, great for the enthusiasts. I don't know why more brands haven't done that. Like, obviously, the Pelagos 39 has been a hit. I think brands know that. I think at the end of the day, I think they're just, they are a little bit stubborn in what they want to do.
Well, I mean, I think to an extent, like, you're right, but I think they kind of each stick to what they think their own brand identity is. And that being said, like, Rolex doesn't need to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, we can all say we want this. They don't need to do a single thing. No. Omega likely doesn't need to do anything. They need to do a little more, but they don't need to do a ton more. In fairness, like, I don't know that Tudor needs to do anything. It's really cool that they did the Pelagos 39.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the Black Bay 54. Like, I'm kind of curious to see what they come out with this year, because I feel like this could be more of a colorway year for them. Although mm-hmm. they could do some other cool stuff. I would love to see some, I don't know if there's room in the collection for a replacement for the North Flag, something that's a little bit more integrated bracelet, sport watchy type of thing, but leans more in on the sport side. I don't really
bring back the Ranger 2. Let's bring it back. Ranger 2 all day. Ranger 2 all day. Explorer 1, Explorer 2, Ranger 2. Come on, Tudor.
Just fix the bezel on the Tudor Royale. Or Tudor Royal or whatever it is. Fix the bezel on that. It just looks weird.
Yeah. Still trying to put those watches on.
So it's funny. Like, the only thing I think... I don't say we're coming up on time, but we knew this was going to be a shorter episode anyway because we're just kind of riffing.
Yeah.
What watch, if it came out during Watches and Wonders or this kind of release cycle, what watch, if it came out, would make you kind of be like, yep, like that has to happen?
Probably a steel Newman dial Daytona.
Okay, and in 15 years when that happened.
It doesn't even have to be like straight up like a exact copy of it, just something that's a steel dial or steel cased, like fully in like colored in subdials that's in steel on a Daytona, right? Obviously they do it in precious metals, but
yeah. Okay. I mean, I think the Coke for me is like, as much as the red sub seems cool, the Coke is still just kind of where it's at. What I will say, there is one watch that could make me question that a little. If they brought back the Turnograph.
Oh. Heck yeah.
That would be like, ooh, because that's more practical.
Yeah.
That's like, you give me a good colorway.
It's too good. It's too good.
You give me a good colorway on a Jubilee with a date just Turnograph?
Oh my God. Would you still be
as hyped? Give it to me in two-tone. I will spend the money for two-tone on that watch.
Sure. Well, would you still be as hyped for it if they brought it back in 42?
No. Hard pass.
Okay.
Hard pass.
What's your size limit?
What I will say for a watch like that, I don't know if I want the old Thunderbird style either. I really kind of want that fluted, but with the markers on it. Like, I want that weird, goofy. I want that one.
That's in a cool way.
It is goofy. I think the max size there has to be 38 because it still needs to wear like a Datejust. I get maybe beefing it up a little bit for the rotating bezel and a couple other things, but like,
yeah,
it should be 36. It should absolutely be 36. If it comes out in a Datejust 41, I'm writing a sternly worded letter. It's gotta be 36 or 38. Don't come at me with this 41 millimeter bullshit. Turnograph.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, with them bringing it back and it having a rotating bezel, I feel like they might have to start from scratch on a case, which means they're not working with the restrictions of kind of pulling in cases from other models. Right. So
don't make it 42.
I don't think
they don't make it 39.
Yeah, well, I think
36, man. 36 is where it's at.
Yeah, 36 is never wrong. Yeah, anywhere 36 to 38. Oh, gosh, they could. No, they wouldn't do 34. It's too small. But yeah, with watches trending down, I feel like 36 to 38 is probably a good guess, and also a sweet spot for that watch.
It'd be really good. It'd be so good.
Yeah.
So, so good.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that makes me question the Coke.
I think you'd still go with the Coke, though.
I mean, I think I would, too, but...
Yeah. But you would think, I get you. I think it'd be at least a day consideration there.
Here's the thing, though. The turnograph could, like, that could happen pretty quickly, I feel like. Like, if those two watches came out together,
yeah,
turnograph would be way less popular.
For sure.
Yeah.
It would hit that initial peak, right? And it would just, like, right after that.
I mean, give it 6 months. But, like, I agree and I disagree. Like, to an extent, like, it's a weird complication. It's a weird old watch that isn't, like, you can still pick up a vintage one for not a lot of money necessarily compared to other vintage Rolexes.
Yeah.
But two, like, there are other, like, the Datejust is, while it is a Rolex and while it is classic, it's not, like, hyped. Like, I feel like certain colorways are more popular than others, but, like, if I went in and said, hey, I just want a blue 36mm Datejust, like, that'd probably happen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Now I get the Palm one and some of the other ones that came out that were kind of goofy or kind of funny. Like maybe those were a little bit more kind of off the wall, but like your standard, I want the green dial, maybe a little bit longer, but you're like, it's just a green dial Datejust. Like that's not like the hype Rolex sport watch. That's that's just like your classic daily wear Rolex. Like that's not getting hyped up.
Yeah. No, I'll agree to that. Yep. Yeah. Man, no. I'd love to see a turnograph come back.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Be really cool.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not too goofy. Rolex doesn't like to do goofy that much anymore. Well, that's a lie. They do. So maybe
they do it more now than they have recently. So, yeah.
I was gonna say emoji.
Yeah.
Shenanigans. Yeah. That's, I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? Turnograph with emoji date wheel. You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm. Of course. On that terrible idea. That terrible idea.
Please end it.
We'll catch everybody next time. See ya.